time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Overtime. Holidays today. It's International Newspaper Carrier Day. If you see one, please give them a nice tip. It's also National Angel Food Cake Day and National Motorcycle Ride Day. If it's still nice enough, go out and get a ride on your bike. I am the Batman, your humble host this week. I'm joined by Furby's back with us. Furb, what's up, buddy?
Not much. How is everybody today?
We are doing great. It's be another beautiful Saturday morning here in Rochester. Danger Boy joins us. Danger, thank you so much for giving us the time.
No problem. Good morning. Enjoying my weekend.
Yeah, I was just saying, I hope your girlfriend's not mad. you're supposed to be doing some work with her, but he came to hang out with us a little bit. And the artiste, Rob Sanderson's with us. Rob, how's it going?
I'm good. Good morning. Hello.
What do you keep doing to keep to occupy your time now that hockey's done, Rob? Is it real? Is it done? Because we had a draft this past week, and the Sabres got a scorer, you know, which is pretty cool news.
I didn't not to go on a tangent, but I didn't necessarily love their draft this year, but we're also into free agency now, too. So hockey, we always joke that there's no offseason, but this is the first year where it actually feels like there's an offseason for those of us that work outside of the NHL. So it's much different than normal, but more than anything, it's nice to finally have a break after at least 5 years of nonstop mayhem. So,
yes, and but if you are looking for an announcer, Mr. Sanderson, you can find us through the Pain Clinic website, or you can find him on Facebook. You never know.
Did have a team contact me from England. They're one of the many teams that are taking the season off, but that would be pretty cool if that somehow came together in the future. We'll see.
I guarantee you I would visit you, bro. Okay, but let me get my plugs out of the way. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're to the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And I'll tell you, Rock City Roller Derby held their first practice this past week. It is a non-contact practice, but it is a sign of better things to come. So as the world starts to open up a little bit, roller derby will be coming back. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm your humble host. I'm here. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with the artiste, Danger Boy, and, of course, Furby and you. And we're going to talk all about pro wrestling. The first thing I want to talk about is last weekend we had a NXT pay-per-view. It was TakeOver. TakeOver number 31, and a standalone, I would call it, because usually the TakeOvers would fall before the major pay-per-views. Now they're having the standalone pay-per-views. Overall, I will give you my opinion on the show. There was some great. I think the last two matches were well worth watching the pay-per-view over, watching the Io Shirai and Candice LeRae match, and Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano, of course, was really good. It was a solid pay-per-view. It ended very early. It was done by 9:30. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, the Kushida, what Velveteen Dream and Kushida, what problem he has with Kushida. But we had some injuries come out of it, too. Finn Balor broke his jaw. Kyle O'Reilly broke some teeth. But, you know, when things like that happen and it doesn't stop the match whatsoever, you know that these guys are, like, seriously into it. And I thought they put on a great main event. Unfortunately, it was cut short due to the injuries. But Danger, what did you think of the whole pay per view on? It was a Sunday night too for TakeOver, which was unique too.
It was a Sunday night, and I had to delay it by about a half an hour because a certain football team was still playing. I wasn't missing the end of the game. But it was a good show. I really enjoyed Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. They beat the hell out of each other. They still say Kyle O'Reilly may have some injuries we don't know about. They're keeping it kind of close to the chest because, I mean, they pummeled each other. And like you said, they did have to cut that a couple minutes short, probably due to the broken jaw on Finn. But otherwise, I mean, it was a good show. I had fun. I like seeing Kushida with an edge to him. I like watching that. I don't really know what the injury angle was, if they had Velveteen Dream come back this week. You know, he's got the supposed broken wrist and the cast on, but I'm not sure why they went with the whole angle if he wasn't going to be off TV for a while. I enjoyed the women's match. I liked what happened after the women's match and how they made the division that, even though it's really, really strong, seemed like it was getting a little stale for a minute. Now they have a whole bunch of new life in it.
If you didn't watch it, folks, Toni Storm showed up on the video screen at the end. And if you remember NXT UK or maybe the first Mae Young tournament, you might remember Toni Storm. Toni Storm, incredible wrestler.
Toni Storm and Ember Moon showed up. So
that's true. Ember Moon as well.
And Moon saved us from the mystery person being Bo Dallas, like everybody originally thought it was. So that's that's always a bonus.
True. And
it was a decent show, and it wasn't too long, and it was the right amount of time. It was enjoyable and fit perfectly into my Sunday evening.
How about you guys? What about you, Ferbs? What do you think of the NXT TakeOver 31?
I definitely liked it. I actually watched this on the car ride home from Violence Like Suffering. I had it on the dashboard. I don't know if that's the safest, but...
if you weren't driving, it's okay. If you weren't driving, right? Never mind. We're not going to implicate you. Okay.
But no, definitely Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly was the biggest match, the one match that I was most excited for. And it was a barn burner. It was definitely everything that you wanted out of that match. It was a beatdown. Let's put it that way. I guess they beat the crap out of each other. I was pulling for Kyle O'Reilly. Nothing against Finn, but Kyle O'Reilly's due for his time. But they put on a show. Women's match again. Yes, it was very good. Both of them seemed to have very good chemistry in the ring. Kushida with the edge, just like Danger said, it's the right way to go. And I think they're subtly making Damian Priest a baby face here. So I like the way that they're kind of bringing him up the ranks. I like how they're kind of pushing him to be a little bit of a star.
It definitely doesn't hurt. Did you get to see this, Mr. Sanderson?
I saw toward the end of it. I also was watching the football game and then watched a live stream concert and then saw the women's match, which... It was good, but I was honestly expecting a little bit more out of it, which I don't know if that's fair. I mean, it was still a good match. The two surprises after the match, I just didn't like how Shirai was like all kind of smiley for both of them. I don't know. It was just kind of like a weird way to react to these big time challengers coming in. Balor and O'Reilly was great. It got cut short a little bit, but it was still plenty long anyway. So, really solid match there. Otherwise, I mean, I saw a little bit of like bits and pieces before that, but I can't really comment on anything before the women's match. So,
well, we are in Rochester, and the Buffalo Bills were playing the Los Angeles Raiders. It was a 4 o'clock game, so I know I was watching it as well. What was that? Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry, Las Vegas Raiders.
Or Las Vegas, as the play-by-play guy was saying.
Las Vegas. I will tell you, I like their uniforms. I definitely like to get, like, you know, maybe buy a jersey or something. I mean, it's just all black, you know? It was pretty cool. But, yeah, you know.
The stadium looks awesome. That's going to be a good Mania venue someday.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure, you know, after, of course, they got to do Orlando still, make good on that, then do SoFi out in Los Angeles, and then they can do Vegas. But I will say, if you saw NXT this week, you got to see Shirai kind of not really pay attention to any of the returning ladies, you know, and kind of like not helping someone who's getting jumped by one of them. So, I enjoyed the Shirai LeRae match. There was a lot of high spots. And it's funny, I saw an interview with Candice LeRae after that and talking about how nervous she was going into that match because it was such a high profile match. But Candice LeRae, I mean, is a great wrestler. I've seen her, you know, I mean, she wrestled guys, you know, so it's like she, you know, she can go out there and do it all. And I thought it was an enjoyable match. And listen, Io Shirai, what is she, Io Shirai, like 4'9"? I'm trying to figure out how tall she is because it's like she, you know, she's just a very, very tiny champion. But it's like, but LeRae made her look huge. So I thought it was just, it was a great match overall.
And I think the one thing that takes away from the Io Shirai Candice LeRae match is that they've had a better one on a takeover before. I believe it was maybe the SummerSlam, the Toronto takeover last year.
Because she won a number one contenders match for that, I think.
It was Shirai versus LeRae Toronto SummerSlam takeover last year, and that was a match that was probably better than it should have been, which kind of trumped this match, but this obviously had more meaning with the title on the line.
I think it's too bad for, first of all, for Candice. You mentioned like she's done so many like intergender matches, but so many of those have now been like deleted forever from streaming services and stuff because of her former tag team partner in Joseph Ryan. But I mean, the match was good. Like, I guess I didn't see NXT last Wednesday night, but I guess if you're bringing back Toni Storm and like that's a big deal, but then Ember Moon right after, like, wouldn't you want to space those out a little bit to give like a ton of hype to each of those returns as opposed to the back? I just don't like the back-to-back thing.
I agree. I was thinking that too. It's like, you got, listen, Ember Moon comes out, you know, and says, I've been hiding for 14 months. And, you know, but she ends up, you know, last night, it was a couple nights ago on NXT, but she ends up, they end up separating everybody, and Shirai's kind of like not siding with anybody, you know, even though she could have sided to help the good person not get beat up. So,
but it's like, John, it's because I'm saying, like, even if you had to do them both this week, why not do one on Sunday and one on Wednesday, or hold one off till next week? I don't know. I feel like it would have, they each kind of deserved a little bit more than being overshadowed by the other.
And I think the one way that they do it right, if they do it right, is they keep Toni off of TV for a little bit, maybe do some more video packages, and then maybe a month down the road she shows up on TV. Nah, I could see that being okay if they do that.
Yeah. Did you say doo-doo, by the way?
He did say doo-doo.
Okay,
I think I said it twice.
All right, on that note, doo-doo, we're going to break. We're going to be back on the flip side, talk a little bit about a dog collar match with a friend of ours and against the new champion. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. To the Pain Clinic, doing a little tribute to EVH, Eddie Van Halen. Rest in peace, brother. We're going to be bumping with him all day today, but he had nothing to do with wrestling, but still one of the greatest guitarists on the planet, and wherever he may be now. This is Eruption, and welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby, and you, and we're here talking the world of pro wrestling, and I teased, went straight from talking doo-doo into talking about a dog collar match that we got to see this past week. AEW celebrating Chris Jericho's 30th year of wrestling, which is pretty impressive, I think, you know, that alone. We didn't really talk much about his 30th year at all, but he certainly know the date because he got a brand new book coming out with, I guess, every 2,300 or whatever matches described in his book. Believe it or not, I don't know if you guys heard this or not. Did you hear about his new book?
Yeah, I saw the I saw him post it earlier today. He's like, believe it or not, I wrote down every single match I've ever done, and I have. He's got pictures and all sorts of stuff. I think it's more of like a match listing along with the whatever he's writing about it. It's not going to be like a description of every match. I'm sure he doesn't have that much detail, but he has every match he's ever done. It's over 2,300.
Oh my, 2,700 something. I think
2,700.
That's incredible.
If he actually kept track of that, like, props to him, because I know, like. I remember when I first started doing like wrestling play-by-play, I kept a log of every match I called. I don't even have that log anymore, but I stopped after like a year or two, and I wish I would have kept that because it would have been really cool to look back at that. And the same thing with even just calling hockey games. Like, I there's no way to go back and track all the random games over the years that, like, I think it'd be cool. Like, I love this. To me, this book seems more intriguing than some of the regular ones just to look back through. And I don't know, maybe there's some random match that we'll find out we need to look up from a, I don't know, a WCW Saturday night or something against Mongo. Probably not Mongo, but you know, somebody. Not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the thing is you know, I mean, think about it. That many matches, it probably will fill the whole book from front to back, even if you just label them, you know, I mean. That's a lot of matches. I'm sure he's got a few that he probably talks about and stands out. You know what? If we want to talk with him, I can try to make an attempt. I mean, he was supposed to be coming to Rochester in October. That got bumped now, I think, until May of next year. I can't remember. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so
I'd love to pick up a copy of that for sure and read it.
Yeah, so, yeah, well maybe.
You can read?
Furby can read.
Now.
Hey, so not only did we get to celebrate, and we got some, you know, little cameos of people on AEW this past week, but we got a dog collar match for the TNT title between Brody Lee and former champion Mr. Rhodes there, Cody Rhodes. Can I call him Cody Rhodes, or am I going to get charged money for it? What'd you guys think of it? I mean, I know, really the thing that surprised me, and it was a great match, but when they were flashing to Greg Valentine in the crowd, I remember last week I was talking about how Greg Valentine and Roddy Piper had that one of those dog collar matches that made, you know, dog collar match famous. And then they brought in Greg Valentine for the match. So I thought, you know, he looked like, thank goodness he wasn't sleeping when they went to him, you know, but.
He almost was.
He almost was.
I'm curious, like, I'm assuming somebody in the crowd took a picture of Valentine sitting there by himself, like a lonely Virgil kind of thing, which I understand, social distancing, all that stuff. But those cutaway shots to him, like, clearly they could have just, like, had him come in for, like, 5 minutes in the afternoon and just filmed those and then said, like, all right, here's your envelope, like, we're good, sure. And then just spliced those into the match. Like, there wasn't really any proof with those shots that he was there during the match itself.
You know, you're right. It looked like, I mean, obviously he wasn't caught, he wasn't aware he was on TV when the TV went to him, you know, so maybe, you know,
that's, I mean, that's kind of the disinterested look I think I've seen on his face every time I've ever encountered him in my lifetime. So.
Were you here when he was in the studio with us? Right, Rob.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. With Coco Beware.
Remember,
right?
We were shaking his hands, and everyone was like going, he has like a catcher mitt for a hand or whatever, you know?
Oh, boy. Was that that outdoor show, that Braun show day?
No, it was a basketball game. Remember, we had the Rochester basketball team, and they brought him in to sign autographs at halftime. And Furby, you would have loved it. You would have been in your heyday, except for the fact that you might not have known any of these guys who were on the show. But it was Coco
Beware. I mean, I've heard of them.
Coco Beware.
That's WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware.
Yeah, it's WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana. And is Greg Valentine? Yeah, he's got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's in.
I've met Tito before.
Yeah, Tito was great. He was like the most aware of all of them. It's, you know, and we even got to ask Coco about the Coco Beware rule that we used to talk about on the show all the time. And he answered it. So, and you know what we're talking about, right? Guys who are in the Hall of Fame who we don't think should have been in the Hall of Fame. You know, we call it the Coco Beware rule.
Are they better than Coco Beware? That's how we justify it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's ruined ever since Drew Carey went in, I think. So it's like, or somebody else went in, probably Trump, who knows, you know?
Well, you wouldn't ask that question to Dan Severn. You did it because Coco Beware was only about 5'7".
Yeah, I did it because I was in the other room. That's why you guys were all in the same room with him. I was over here. So, sorry, we're getting distracted from what we're talking about. We're here to talk about the dog collar match, which, man, that was a quality match. I mean, listen, anytime you put a connection in between two wrestlers where they're connected and one guy is fate is connected to the other guy falling and the distance they can go, it's always a super dangerous match. And I know Brody Lee has been posting about it, and it wasn't just his regular post. It was like, this is a very important to me. So, you know, he's putting a lot of effort into it. And I thought it was a great match. I thought he did a great job. And I hate to see the belt go back to Cody. We talked last week. We didn't think it was going to go that way, but it does. So it's like, and obviously maybe Brody was keeping it warm while Cody was making his TV show or something. I don't know.
And I think I got a take on this, too, because, first of all, I just want to point out the match. I thought it was spectacular. The fact that they made a dog collar match as brutal as they did and not making it look gimmicky, hats off to them. That was fantastic. I wasn't really sure what to expect out of it. I've never seen a dog collar match. I've seen, like, the Texas bull rope matches, things like that. And a lot of those times, they end up looking gimmicky. But that dog collar match, I mean, it was fantastic. The blood, the beatdowns, the chain whips, the overall technicality too that they still were able to have while being tied up on the dog collar. I mean, it was fantastic. Props to them. But I think going forward, talking about the title just itself, I know I said it before the show, I think it's kind of going to be a transition. You know, Orange Cassidy just beat Chris Jericho in a mimosa match, okay? Then he faces Brody Lee and loses. I mean, is he going to take two TNT title match losses in a row? I don't think so if they want to push them as a star. So I'm expecting Orange to win next week in the anniversary show for AEW.
I don't think they can take it off that quickly. I mean, I think Orange is obviously super over, and you can tell how much Tony Khan loves him and everything else. But I get putting Orange in a profile match on the anniversary show. He's been such a big part of their first year of TV. I just don't really like it because he just had an opportunity, like you mentioned, and I don't think he's going to win, and I don't think he needs another loss right now. They gave him those big wins. They shouldn't go to waste. The match itself, Brody and Cody, was awesome. It was even better than I expected. Plenty of time, a little bit of everything. I loved the finish. I did not love the result. The crossroads with the chain tied around the face and stuff was great. I am nervous where they go from here booking-wise. Like, I have faith in them that they have a plan for this, but where do you go? Like, there's plenty of ways to go with Cody now, but I think they could have stretched out this feud longer, gone, let Cody lose again and then give him the big win the third time. I don't like it. I think it's too soon. Brody only had two successful defenses, one against Orange and then the one against Dustin, and I don't think that's enough. Overall, it was worth it to give him the belt for that time, to give him the big win and stuff. You know, I like it better than if they had not done that at all. But they gotta keep him strong and do something else with him immediately. I don't want to see him just like in the background for a little bit, and I'm nervous that could happen.
Stick him on Cage. That's what I say, or something. You know, I mean, keep him relevant. You know, I mean, he already did Moxley.
I think the tough part is like, you try to think of like other potential opponents that he hasn't already worked with, and I just don't think a lot of them make sense storyline wise. You have a lot of big bad guys, you have a lot of bad guy factions. Like, I don't even know who to suggest that he focuses on next. And especially, like, you come in, you go for the world title, you don't get it, you get the TNT title, you drop it. Like, there's no other belt for him to go for unless he like randomly joins the tag division that's so overflowing right now, and that's not going to happen. But I just hope they figure something out. I don't know. I will have to wait and see. But I mean, they're obviously teasing some potential like heel feuds out there. Obviously, they're planting the seeds more and more for Jericho and MJF and stuff like that. But I don't even know what to suggest they do with Brody next. But I hope they do something quick and don't let him just like you said, like sit in the background for a little bit.
Danger.
Yeah, to echo what Rob said, it's match was great. Match is fantastic. It's great to see an old school dog collar match. It's not gimmicked up. It's not WWE'd. It was how they're supposed to be done. But I don't like the fact they took the belt off of him. I think it was 55 days, which is, I mean, it's longer than he had the Intercontinental title, but not by that much.
Yeah, it feels like the same thing.
Yeah, it almost feels exactly the same. I hope they have something in mind. I hope they have a place he's going to go to transition to. I don't think they're going to keep him, feuding with Cody after this. But they could always do the rubber match. But I hope they have something in mind while they're doing this.
Well, the other thing too is that I know there's so much going on with the anniversary show, but if it's the anniversary of your show on TNT, like why not have that be the main event of the anniversary show on TNT for the TNT belt, and you get your big baby face, his big win, whatever. Like, I just don't like that it was on the first half of the show the week before, too. Like, it to me, it's just weird. Also, like, kind of wish Cody would have waited to dye his hair until after that match, because it would have looked even cooler with the blonde hair and all the color. But.
Yeah, true. I mean, there was a few spots in that match that had me worried, like once where Cody went over the top rope, and that chain is only so long, so it's like, just that's always the one of the things you worry about is the length of chain between them and how far apart can they really get. Obviously,
well, if you really look closely at that too, you can tell that they worked together very well to keep stuff like that safe. So a little bit of the tugging on the chain from the partner and stuff to make sure that all that stuff works out, because certainly it's a lot more danger with that. The other thing too, it seemed like the package pile driver through the table during picture in picture, or the restaurant quality picture in picture, as JR's sure. saying every week. And it felt to me like changing a title on a house show, as like it's like, oh hey, look, we're gonna do this one big moment in picture in picture so people know like something could happen, so you better pay attention. Which I mean at least they gave the replay on TV, but I didn't like that happened during a commercial break.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there was like a couple times when they were outside along the outside of the ring where they were tugging each other into the steps, and obviously, like you said, they know their distance. And but you still get a little nervous when, especially I get nervous when someone goes over the top rope, because because it's not, doesn't take that long a chain to make you choke or whatever. So it was exciting. It was an exciting match. And on that note, we're going to go to break. Come back, talk a little bit about. We got a lot of things to talk about. I mean, there's WWE draft coming up. It might hold off. We're going to be on a little bit longer today. We're going to be on to 11:30, so we're going to go right up to Syracuse football. So maybe I'll hold that off till after the top of the hour. But I'm thinking more about the Retribution this past week and Ali joining them, and we'll talk about that on the flip side. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. No, it's not the police coming for Furby. It's Michael Jackson and with little Eddie Van Halen playing guitar. Here it comes. Hold on. Here it comes. There we go. A little Eddie Van Halen and Beat It from Michael Jackson. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're doing a little dedication to our, remembrance of Eddie Van Halen, who passed away this week at the age of 65. But we're here talking pro wrestling. And I teased going into break a little bit. We're talking about we had a big revelation with Retribution this past week. Retribution at the end of Monday Night Raw. And, I have a question for you guys. When you have a heel faction being attacked by Retribution, who do you cheer for? You've got this heel faction that's in the ring, and then you got Retribution outside the ring. Are you just hoping they're going to hurt each other and end it all? I have a hard time cheering against them when they're taking on, MVP's guys,
I said it a couple of weeks ago. I think the first time when Retribution came out and went after the Hurt Business, like, I was actually kind of excited to see the Hurt Business go after them. So it was kind of cool. But I actually think I might have a shift in my viewpoint now on that. I'm a big fan that Ali is kind of the leader of this retribution. Gives him something to do, and they were looking for a big push on this guy for a while, and you know, he kind of got injured and fell to the main event roster, just like Ricochet, if you will. And this is time.
Remember, Ali was supposed to be Kofi Kingston. Before last year's WrestleMania, he was the guy who was going to go on to WrestleMania and lose to Brock Lesnar, you know. They were building up as the guy with the what was it? They didn't really have a name for it, but he was the guy that with all the cameras and the hacker or whatever. That whole hacking angle they were doing that kind of showed that Sonya turned on Mandy Rose, you know, when trying to make Otis looked bad, you know, that remember that whole thing that they just dropped like a hot rock, you know. He was supposed to be getting this huge push, and then and I thought maybe his hacker character is what Retribution became. But then this past week on Monday, he goes out after the wrestling the Hurt Business. Ali goes out and confronts the two biggest guys, which T-Bar and I can't remember the other guy's name, D something. Thanks. What?
Mace,
that's it, yeah. And right in the middle of our confronting them, turns around, and then all of a sudden, Ali's the leader. Not absolutely shocked by it, but not absolutely against it either, except for that Mercedes Martinez wasn't part of them last week. I don't know if they wrote her off or what, but it gives at least, you know, more of a ground in WWE than those guys. Those guys were outsiders up to a certain point. No one, you know, the characters were at least. We all know that all the people underneath the masks were people who have been with WWE for a long time. So, but Danger, what did you think about Ali finally coming out and being the guy behind them that, you know, was on the inside?
I mean, if they go back and tie it into what he was doing as the supposed SmackDown hacker, I'll like it a whole lot. I like it a little bit now. It gives them some purpose. It gives them something to do. I still don't know why they chose the Hurt Business for them to feud with. I love the Hurt Business. I think they're doing really good stuff. But they're a heel faction that still plays a heel when they're doing anything other than going against Retribution. So it's worth watching to see what happens. I'm actually kind of glad they took Mercedes Martinez. It looks like she's been taking out of the group. She's been tweeting about like NXT type stuff on her Twitter. So hopefully she's out so she doesn't reek of stench when it's all said and done. But otherwise, you know, I'll pay attention to what happens, and it's a nice little change. But ultimately, if they don't change what they've been doing, it's just going for naught. And then you add another person in the garbage that is Retribution.
Well, let me insert one thing. The Hurt Business, everyone thought maybe they were sliding towards the good side, but they still were punking on the good guys. So that's why, you know, they were playing bad guy. You know, Retribution was playing the bad guy. And so now it seems like we have a bad guy versus bad guy situation happening. Usually, much like we just mentioned a minute ago about how they might be doing that in AEW with Jericho and MJF there, you know? I mean, usually what it does is it spring-loads somebody into a super face. Now, could that happen with these groups? Do we get the, you know, Hurt Business suddenly becoming the super faces? I mean, I thought they were working their way towards that until they started, you know, still having problems with other people. Ferbs, you look like you've got something to say.
Yeah. What I wanted to go back to is it was almost one of those things where you could see it coming. I watch Main Event almost regularly, but when Ali had been wrestling a lot on Main Event lately, and he kind of changed his moveset more towards the heelish moveset when he was facing Ricochet almost every week. And then to see him come out of, see him on Monday Night Raw the last two, 3 weeks, then see him come out of the Hurt Locker or Hurt Business locker room the other week, and then kind of see what he was doing the last few weeks. And then when he turned sides to, you know, team up with the Hurt Business, it seemed like something was going to go wrong or change. And it did. And like I said earlier, I'm happy for it. I think it's the right thing to do. Not saying that retribution is the best thing. I still think it sucks, but I think now they've got some sort of direction where they have an unmasked leader that could actually drive some momentum for the group. One thing that maybe we can or cannot, you know, put too much into it, but Cedric Alexander was missing from TV this week. I don't know if that was health related or if it was something more. Maybe he tears apart the Hurt Business from the inside.
Interesting. Interesting. Any thoughts there, Mr. Artiste?
Retribution sucks. Ali deserves a spot in a prime thing, so maybe it's a good thing. I don't know if he... I'm curious to see, like, are they really full-blown heel with him as the leader? Or if we had crowds in there, would the crowds kind of like them now that he's the leader? I don't know. I feel like the fans usually took to him pretty well, and he's going to have to do a lot to be fully hated in this. But I don't know. The sooner Retribution ends, the better.
You know, the only thing is, if you hang out with Gable, obviously you're going to turn heel eventually, because we already had, I mean, now Ricochet's the next guy, apparently, because we, you know, think about the guys that they were hanging out with together. Two of them have gone heel in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's a big, you know, and I think, remember we talked about it when Retribution appeared with their masks, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, and how they got, like, laughed at by people backstage about it. So it's, you know, it's like they need something to settle it down. I think putting a person who doesn't have a mask on and be the face of them, you know, now they just have to do something right, you know. I mean, like I said last week, I think WWE would have ruined the NWO if they never would have had the patience that the WCW did to make the NWO what they were, you know. But, you know, week after week of the, because they give up after, you know, 6 weeks straight of somebody doing something. It's like, well, if it doesn't move forward, then we're going to really ruin this by, you know, adding drama to it or something, you know. And it's, and I think that's kind of where I felt Retribution was going, you know, especially with that contract signing. It's like, now we'll defeat them from the inside, and all, you know, just that. I don't know. There is a stench coming from it. I would agree 100%. And I like the guys. You know, was it Dominic Dvorak? How do you say that, Danger? Dvorak?
Dijakovic.
Sorry, I just can't say his name. But loved one, you know. I mean, he's a dude who, it's funny, when Ferb and I saw him in Buffalo, Tommaso Ciampa gave him, you know, just told this whole story about the guy that nobody knew about, how they started together in New Jersey, and that he just had a baby the week before. And it was really pretty, you know, and it just made the people go even nuts more for him, you know. And now he's like under a mask, and, you know, I don't know. They do some silly things sometimes. I'm still waiting for Vanessa Bourne to show up too, by the way. You know, I mean, they said she's coming. When? That's what I know. It's crazy.
I just hope at some point they unmask these guys, and then maybe I'll take it as credible.
They take off their Bane masks and go back to where they were, you know, be real people, you know. But then you know who they were, because they, if you watch NXT, you know who the guys are. Just where do they go from here now? I mean, now if you have two heel factions clashing heads, do one of them, like I said, does one of them jump up and be a huge face, you know, eventually? And then could that be the Hurt Locker, you know, or whatever they are, the Hurt Business?
I think this gets dragged out to Survivor Series, to be honest, and it ends up being Retribution versus the Hurt Business with Cedric and probably Ricochet.
And so they'll all be, yeah, you know what? It could be, you know what? It's, and we do have a pay-per-view coming up in a couple of weeks. It's Hell in the Cell, I believe. And yeah, which we already have one match for, which is, I believe, Roman Reigns and his cousin, you know, so far. But why don't we go to break
and
on
Matt
that? Yeah, why don't we go to break on that? Come back. We've got a lot of news, as well as we've got two segments next hour. So it's almost getting close to 11 o'clock. We're going to go to 11:30. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Thank you. back to the Pain Clinic. It's a song called Cathedral from Van Halen, little Eddie Van Halen, playing harmonics on a guitar. Pretty wild sounding. But we're back here. We're honoring Eddie today, greatest guitarist on the planet, passing away this past week. And you know, wherever he's in heaven with Jimi Hendrix and they're jamming. But we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. And this is the last segment of the hour. We'll be on for till 11:30, so you can definitely come back next hour and catch us. And we can talk a little bit about some things we didn't talk about yet. But I do want to talk. Okay, so we were talking a little bit in the commercial break about Matt Cardona, who you might remember better. What was his name in WWE?
Zack Ryder.
That's right, Zack Ryder. The guy with who got himself over despite what WWE was doing. Well, Matt Cardona, you might remember seeing him in AEW. He showed up and made a few appearances, and now he's done. His contract's over with AEW. So it's like it's a shame because I don't think they really got a good feel for what he was doing. They really didn't really throw him into with anybody. You know, he did come out and interrupt something, but Matt Cardona is a free agent again. You know, and you know, I mean, sure, he didn't do anything to irritate WWE in his process. He was there. He could probably easily go back. I don't know if he'd want to go back to NXT. But Matt, what'd you guys? I just heard this week that he's no longer with him, so it was kind of surprising. But you guys say how many days was he on a 5 to 8 match contract? 5 match contract?
Yeah, I think it was a 5-date deal. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where he goes from here. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's off of all TV for a little while. No, he's got his own thing with his podcast going on.
Well, I mean, his partner in his podcast is Brian Myers, and he's on Impact Wrestling now.
Yep. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Again, maybe he pops back up in AEW down the road. Maybe he goes to a different company. Maybe he ends up back in WWE. But I would be surprised if he doesn't stay away for a little bit. Not too long, but I could definitely see him popping back up in AEW.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with AEW's got so many people under contract. We were talking in the break. Like, there's only so many spots that of people who can actually be featured on 2 hours of real weekly TV. And for somebody of his caliber, I don't know if they want him to just be a lost in the shuffle guy or a guy who is wrestling on dark most weeks or whatever. Certainly, there's plenty of things they could do with him. But I feel like we're kind of in this era where maybe we're going to have people working a lot of places outside of WWE at the same time. You're seeing some Impact guys showing up in Ring of Honor, some AEW guys can show up in Impact, NWA crossovers. New Japan was mentioned quite a bit on AEW this week. I think there's a chance that, you know, these feds could all kind of work together in a way to let people kind of do different things and build their names up all over the place. And I, to me, it's only really a positive if you let people do that. So he didn't do a ton while he was there. Obviously, he was in that 8-man tag at the pay-per-view and stuff. But I fully expect we'll see him in AEW again. But whether or not that'll be a full deal, I don't know. I mean, maybe he wanted more than they were willing to offer. But a lot of people have started there on those 5-show deals and then earned the full contract. So then some others haven't, so we'll see.
You did mention some other guys. EC3 is another guy who is now working with Impact Wrestling and showed up on Ring of Honor TV this past week, at least a promo. So he's been hinting at it all summer that he'd be showing up in multiple promotions. Ring of Honor, I don't think they've really ever had a problem with letting people go to Impact Wrestling. We used to see it all the time when it was TNA. I remember Punk was working both TNA and Ring of Honor at the same time, as well as Joe, a lot of the wrestlers. But I guess it all depends on what level you're at. I mean, what marketing level you're at. If they have dolls for Ring of Honor, I have a feeling that maybe he wouldn't be able to do that, you know?
And there's also, I mean, there is the weird dynamic. If we talk specifically AEW and Ring of Honor, obviously there were people who were in Ring of Honor under contracts there. They left there to start AEW. They have a lot of friends back and forth, but there's also, I don't necessarily want to use the word heat, but I mean, not everybody was thrilled with the break apart with that too. So I wouldn't be surprised to see companies like allow a little bit here and there. And I think, you know, more than anything, we might be in this period of time where everything's transitioning. I mean, you talk so much about WWE and the independent contractor status and what can be owned and what WWE owns. you know, likeness rights, all this stuff. More and more talk about unionizing wrestling and all this stuff too. And maybe we're just going to get to a point where, all right, we're independent contractors. Well, we're really independent contractors, and I'm going to go do these things in Japan. I'm going to do these things in Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, whatever. I just think, to me, there's not – AEW is a place that's like people have full-time deals there. WWE, people have full-time deals. Impact, Ring of Honor, not as much necessarily. I mean, a lot of these guys are still relying on independent dates and stuff like that. And obviously some AEW guys work indies too. You're going to see a ton of that this weekend if anybody tunes into The Collective on Fight TV with, what is that, 12 shows or whatever from Indianapolis. You're going to see people from AEW and Impact and everywhere except WWE on those shows. So I just think it's a cool thing to maybe see more of that, where guys don't necessarily have to be 100% exclusive. They can still be, you know, an AEW guy or an NWA guy or whatever the case is, but still have the flexibility to do some other things once in a while.
Yeah, I would fully support wrestling going that direction. I think if anything, it's nothing but a positive, like you said.
You know, it's interesting that Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, or the son of the owner of AEW, they own also the Jacksonville Jaguars, which have to deal with,
the Jags.
Yeah.
Home of the Jags.
Yeah, home of the Jags.
Every time I hear that, it's it should be a drinking game, but God, I can't stand hearing that.
Well, but they also are ruled by a union too, so it's like, and they know how to deal with them already. Which one thing Vince McMahon's never had to deal with was a wrestling union, and it's like at least for the major league version, I think if it's a televised version, maybe there should be a union for everybody who's on TV. You know, kind of like the Screen Actors Guild or whatever it is, the health care you get from being on TV, you get automatically when you're part of their union. So, you know, but that I think that it would change the business completely. And of course, Vince McMahon probably would sell it before that would happen. I think he'd get out because it's something he's been adamant against from back in the days when Hulk Hogan was the big guy in the company. And you've heard the stories of Jesse Ventura trying to start up a union and Hulk Hogan kind of narking on them to Vince McMahon, then Vince McMahon like kind of shutting it all down on him. We had him on the show to talk about it, and he didn't mention it that one time. So we're running out of time this hour. We do have an extra half hour, so stick with us to 11:30. But we've got more news to talk about, and we didn't talk one ounce about the draft. And the draft is Friday night SmackDown, Monday night Raw. And there's a lot to talk about, and I'll go through the rules before we start talking about it, because they do have a nice list of rules, and we'll do that on the flip side. You are listening, after this news break, you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Saturday morning. Yeah, we're on a little bit of extra time. It's a little bonus Pain Clinic put in here after 11 o'clock. We're going right up to the beginning of Syracuse football. That'll start at 11:30, but let me introduce myself. I am the Cashman, your humble host. I am here with Herbie. How you doing, Herb?
doing fantastic in this extra half hour.
This extra half hour, Virgin Hilton. You got Danger Boy and Gates. What's up, Danger?
How much? Enjoying the extra time.
And we, of course, have the artiste, Rob Sanderson from Rochester. How you doing, buddy?
Enjoying a little bit of cooler fall weather. This is it's been a long time since I've gotten to enjoy this. It's great.
Cool. So if you were listening to when we were on last hour, we talked about all sorts of things about Retribution, the dog collar match. You might have missed us talk about it, but if you missed it, you can definitely check it out online at thepainclinic.net or feelthepain.net or on iTunes or a bunch of other places. But this hour we've got to talk a little bit about the draft, okay? Because we didn't touch it at all. The draft going on right now in WWE. We had part one last night. Got part two tomorrow. I don't know if they did all these rules, but let me tell you a little bit about the rules of the draft. Over 60 male superstars, females, and tag teams have been placed into the 2020 draft. More than 20 superstars are eligible to be drafted, of course, last night, Friday night, and more than 30 superstars are eligible to be drafted on Monday night. Due to the length of each show, for every two picks that SmackDown selects, Raw will get three picks. Obviously NXT is not counted in here. Tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox, and you know, it's funny, now they're counted as one. You remember when they split the Dudleys up on the draft? That was a long time ago, but we split the, you know.
And they didn't, that was one of the ones I don't feel like they told them about ahead of time.
No.
JR
went to the different night and he was not happy.
Pissed. That's the very first one, wasn't it? Because I remember The Rock was like the very first pick.
We got Deacon Batista out of that, so you respect it.
Deacon Batista, and who was he with? But Batista, yeah, Deacon Batista and Deacon
Brother Devon.
Well, it was Deacon Devon, wasn't it? Or I don't know. Never. Okay, hold on. So tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox or the USA Network, in conjunction with WWE officials, want to pick one superstar from the team. We don't want to do that. We need to keep the teams together. And if they're an unestablished team, then split them up. Who cares? Any undrafted superstars will immediately be declared free agents and able to sign with the brand of their choosing. And those are the rules we have for the draft. Now, we're looking at who's being drafted and who's going where. Who is a character that needs, I mentioned this a little bit before we came on. Draft is to, one, freshen up both products, but two, to bolster. We have to bolster Fox, because Fox and SmackDown is the number one show, because they spent $1 billion with WWE to put them on Fox. $1 billion. You know, they're not getting $1 billion from USA. They expect the number one show. Now, who from Raw would help bolster the attendance on SmackDown, or the people watching on SmackDown? Who could they take? And then the second question is, who needs a refresher? Who needs to be moved? Who needs to get to put on another, and any particular reason why? Like, for instance, I would say AJ Styles probably would be good if he was on Raw. He kind of I don't know how he ever got SmackDown, because he must have been traded or something. Was he traded?
He was.
Yes. Okay. He did great in Raw. He doesn't want to be anywhere around Heyman. Heyman and Roman Reigns are number one on SmackDown. They need a number one face to go against Roman Reigns, number one. You can't, you know, I mean, as much as everyone wants to see Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns take each other on, because those are the two biggest characters, I think, on SmackDown. Who's a big face they could bring over to, you know, compete with Roman Reigns? You know, that's the question. Seth Rollins, possibly?
I think Seth is, from what I heard, Seth is going away. He'll be taking some time off shortly, possibly after the end of this angle with the Mysterios, to tend to.
You mean the angle that will never end? Man. The angle that will never end, you mean?
Yeah, it couldn't be over soon enough.
Okay. But, you know.
But I think Seth, he gets. I don't know. I think he might stay on Raw and then just go away for a while. AJ Styles is a guy that I definitely do think is going to Raw. The funny thing is that you say this, I can think of more guys from SmackDown going over to Raw than I could think of more guys from Raw going over SmackDown. Maybe they tease a Randy Orton thing getting drafted to SmackDown and they still carry on the Hell in a Cell match between him and Drew, even though they're on different shows. But I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of who will benefit the best out of it, and then who will help bolster the ratings for the shows they're going to.
I think, I honestly,
I don't want to see any more Shield members against Wyatt family members, or any mixing of those guys. And like, we've seen so much over the last few years. I don't, Rollins and Reigns pass, like all those, like Wyatt and Reigns, I just don't care about that anymore. Like, I've moved on. Like, I like that Jey Uso is in the mix now. It's something different. Like, let's keep doing stuff with totally new matches that we haven't seen 80 times over the last decade.
I could see Sheamus going over to Raw. Honestly, I think the one single star that you might see towards the beginning of the year start to get a big of a push is Big E. Maybe we see him face Roman Reigns at some point. Maybe he's already on SmackDown. I've heard rumors of, you know, the New Day staying together but being on two different shows. So it's really a toss-up of what could happen.
Could we see a Drew McIntyre move over to SmackDown? I mean, is that a possibility? And then another thing, what about Braun Strowman? How did he ever get to Raw? He disappeared in the swamp, and the next thing we know, he's on Raw now.
I think Braun's definitely a guy who needs to go back over to Raw. I think he's done what he can on SmackDown.
Well, he was on Raw. He showed up on Raw this past week. He was like, he showed up on the Raw Underground that they don't do anymore, or whatever. You know, the great idea until people got COVID-19, and now we're not doing it anymore. Danger, you have any thoughts?
Braun needs to go away for a while. They need, like, honestly, I don't dislike the guy terribly, but they've done so much changing and flipping and flopping and everything of him over the past few months. He just needs to be off TV for a while. That's. I mean, I hate to sound like an old fogey because I was barely around for the territory days, but that's what would happen to the territories, is a guy would go away to a different territory so he could freshen up his act or just be away from people. And then when he came back, he could make a difference. So it doesn't really do it switching shows like that. So Braun needs to go away for a while. Kevin Owens, I would not mind seeing on SmackDown. Otherwise, AJ going to Raw is pretty much, I think everybody thinks, a given. And other than that, I really just don't care.
Yeah,
these guys have fought each other before.
Well, you know, we always have a big woman, a big ladies wrestler move as well, you know? And
well, it wouldn't surprise me if Ronda Rousey got drafted to SmackDown.
You were starting to believe these Ronda Rousey things then, right? Actually, Ronda Rousey was one of the dangling, on a hook when they first signed with SmackDown. When they first signed with WWE, they wanted Ronda Rousey and Roman Reigns on Friday Night SmackDown. I don't think they ever got Ronda, you know. But she's been teasing lately about coming back. So you know what? Great, let her get drafted. Maybe draft someone that we don't know they've signed. You know, that would be pretty cool too. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Drew McIntyre going. But you know who's going to help them bring, you know, the ratings to you know, Friday night besides Roman Reigns? So it's got to be a face to go against them. You know, and I don't know if there's anything that strong out there. I think that unfortunately the best characters are heels now in WWE.
Yeah, I was going to say, really the only true, like, I mean, like, top star face that is on Raw right now is being portrayed by Drew McIntyre. Other than that, I mean, Kevin Owens, too. But other than that, it's kind of like so many guys are like tweeners now. So it's like or they're just not top level status. I mean, on Monday Night Raw, the main event scene is so thin, I could picture three or four guys. That's it.
I have the answer.
Okay.
It's Dominic Mysterio.
No, it is. They got to sign Orange Cassidy. And then we wouldn't know what to do with him, I think. But, you know, on that note, we're going to take a break. Yes, it's the Pain Clinic. We have extra time. It's 11. We're in the 11 o'clock hour on Saturday morning, and we'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280. To the Pain Clinic. A little AEW music here to bring us back. I'm the Cash Man with Furby. Danger Boy and the Artista. No, you're not hearing things, folks. We are on a little bit past 11. We're going to 11:30 because we have Syracuse football up next. Listen to Jericho sing. Can you believe he's been wrestling for 30 years? All right, so we're here. While we're playing some Jericho music, we want to tease a little bit. We got some news, but I want to talk a little bit about this week's AEW Dynamite. We've got a stacked show for their one-year anniversary show, which, okay, listen.
Their one-year and two-week anniversary
show. Yes, technically their one-year anniversary was back in the second day of October, I believe. So we're a little bit past that. But this was October 14th is the date, and we're going to see Miro and Kip Sabian versus someone to be determined. But they're trying to find Kip's going to be having a bachelor party, I think, and I'm not sure exactly where they're going with this, but they will be wrestling now. What do you guys thought of Miro so far, or Rusev, whatever you want to call him? You know what's funny is a lot of people attribute Lana going through tables 3 weeks in a row on TV because of things that Miro said about WWE when he first joined AEW. I don't know if that's true or not, but let's see if she goes through a table again this week, okay?
Hopefully
they give him a good match on Wednesday. Let him start to really... They don't have to rush it, per se, but I would really like to... During this whole thing where he's probably going to be associated with Sabian for a while, but like, let's give him a nice singles match at the pay-per-view next month. Like, it's time to start building something up with him, as opposed to being one of the guys that just, like, comes in and then they don't really do anything with for a little while.
It's sad as a Miro or Rusev fan that I almost kind of forget that he's even there. It's one of those things where I think it really hasn't all been that well perceived. Definitely there was a big pop, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, excitement, when he debuted, for sure. The match he had with Sabian versus Janela and Sunny Kiss, I think there was a lot of missed spots in that match, and social media kind of got on him about it. So it would be nice to see him see a rebound, I guess, or see him start to get a push towards the top, where he probably belongs.
I feel like this is kind of very much like what we were talking about last hour with Zack Ryder / Matt Cardona. Like, how you have these guys, but there's only so much time to do stuff with them that you don't need more of the guys in that category. They were building up Scorpio Sky for a little bit, too. He's kind of dropped
another great example of that is Sean Spears. I mean, he's on Dark every week. Yeah. I just want to say something funny about the rankings that they have. The guy's 13-2, and he's not even in the top five. Like, granted, his matches are mostly on Dark against lesser opponents, but if records are supposed to matter, I mean, just look at the numbers.
Well, kind of along those lines, too, just to, like, jump the gun, if we were talking about matches for Wednesday, like, Best Friends are finally getting their shot at the tag titles with FTR, and Best Friends have been built up really well. They've had, like, a lot of good wins in recent months. They had that parking lot brawl. But I didn't like on Wednesday how we're setting up this big match for the anniversary for the tag titles. And there are some people who think Best Friends will take the titles. I don't see that happening. But then we've got from commentary and stuff like, oh, that move was probably directed with the Young Bucks in mind. And the Bucks, there's something nice about being patient about waiting for FTR and the Bucks. But let's not overshadow the other tag teams in the meantime. Like, let's give Private Party a legit chance in people's minds, or let's give Best Friends a chance to, you know, have a real shot. Like, these teams that are getting these 20-minute matches, whatever, and stuff, I don't want everybody to just think, like, oh, that's not the Bucks, so there's no chance, and then it's just kind of worthless. Either get to the match of the Bucks, or, like, let's stop talking about them in the same breath as FTR for now.
I agree. Danger, what do you think?
Well, I mean, going back to the Rus or the Miro thing, I absolutely hate everything they've done with him so far. So hopefully they do something different. I don't like him coming in as a tag team. I don't like this is a guy who was on a tank at a WrestleMania, who was a main attraction at a WrestleMania, who's a main attraction, was hugely over in the number one company, and he's tag teaming and planning a wedding. So I hate everything they've done with him so far. And I agree with the tag team. Either get FTR to the Bucks, or stop talking about it till it happens.
Yeah.
And if you're going FTR to the Bucks, why are you making the Bucks bad guys?
And they spend more time with the Bucks backstage than anything else. I mean, you know, it's like more being locked, you know, Tony being locked out of their locker room. And, you know, I don't know. Yes,
it's going to be interesting to see, because the anniversary is one of the big shows for them TV wise. But after we get past Wednesday, they don't really have that much time to build up one of their pay-per-views in early November, which really isn't. I mean, they only do, what, 4 pay-per-views a year or whatever. Like, there are storylines, there are feuds out there and stuff, but I just feel like they're going to have to really get things going with setting marquee matches for that pay-per-view, like this week.
Yeah, and I think talking about the best friends in the tag team division, you know, they've had a crazy, crazy ride over this summer going into the fall, and they've been fantastic. They're hugely over. But again, I think this is another scenario where they're going to end up losing 2 straight title matches. I mean, they lost in their title match against SCU, I think, at Fyter Fest or Fight for the Fallen, one of those two. And then now I don't see them beating FTR this coming Wednesday. I mean, they're obviously going towards Young Bucks FTR, whether it's at Full Gear or whether it's on a Dynamite more towards the winter. So hopefully best friends don't, you know, they recovered well from the summer loss. And let's just hope that continues through, even though they're probably not going to win the titles this Wednesday.
Well, the one other thing they could do, too, is, which I would honestly like to see, is do the surprise, let best friends take the titles, and let them then feud with all these million other tag teams they have. FTR and the Bucks don't need to have the titles in the mix. They can have a feud, and that's good, because both teams can get a win and the titles don't have to go back and forth so much. So just let that feud happen away from the tag belts. I think that's their best option. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see best friends take it on Wednesday.
I think that's a great I think it's a great idea. I think, you know what you do is you get Greg Valentine to be with them to negate Tully Blanchard, you know, and let's mention a couple of the other matches because we're running out of time. We've got Cody, of course, defending his newly won TNT championship against Orange Cassidy. Orange comes out and, you know, just stands there, and that's all he's got to do to make a threat is just come out and stand there. And you know what? I love everything Orange Cassidy does, and Cody, I'm sure Cody will make him look like $1 million. Cody probably will end up walking off with that belt, I'm guessing. You know, I mean, yes, it's an anniversary show, but I mean, it's not pay-per-view. You can't change things on the dime after a week. So, especially after, unless, say, for instance, Mr. Brody Lee comes out and interferes and, like, takes them both out, and then, you know, maybe we can build something up for the pay-per-view, maybe a 3-way with those guys, because he does have a win over Orange, you know? I don't know, just some thoughts spilling. What do you guys think?
I wouldn't be upset with that at all.
I wouldn't either. I'm curious, like, will they, going forward, is the TNT title going to be a part of pay-per-views, or is it really just going to be kept to TV? That's something I guess we'll find out. But obviously the last pay-per-view, the TNT champion was just in an 8-man tag. But if you make it, like, the big deal on TV whenever it's defended. I don't think we need to go back to Cody defending it every single week. But I don't know. I don't know if they'll do TNT matches on pay-per-views or not.
No. Danger, any thoughts on that?
I want Brody to have the belt back.
Okay.
I think they should have the rubber match, but I don't think they should. I think what Rob is saying is what they should do. They should keep it on the TNT station. They should keep it on Dynamite and then do other things during the pay-per-views and leave that spotlight to, you can always look forward to having a title match every once in a while, because you don't usually get the world title matches on Dynamite at all. So you leave them where they are.
And in terms of Brody, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being one of those last couple spots in that tournament they're doing. I honestly don't want that, because I don't see him winning the tournament. I assume that'll be Omega or Paige that wins it. So I would rather not see him suffer another loss there. But that could be something they do with him next.
Well, guys, we're running out of time here. We had one more match, Jon Moxley and Lance Archer. We'll see what happens with that. But I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Artiste. We're going to get out of here. Thank you to WHTK for giving us an extra half an hour to talk more wrestling, and we probably could go another hour or two if we wanted to, but we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 10 a.m. every Saturday morning on Fox Sports 1280. We'll see you next week, folks.